Intervju Radija Študent.
Lepo pozdravljeni, poslušate Radio Študent Ljubljana na frekvenci 89,3 MHz. V tokratnem RŠ intervjuju se bomo pred njegovim nocojšnjim koncertom v Galusovi dvorani ob 19:30 pogovarjali z edinstvenim kitaristom, aranžerjem, skladateljem in botrom ska glasbe z Jamajke, Ernestom Wranglinom. 79. Wranglin je eden ustanovnih očetov šafla ritmike, ki je v studiu One na radijski postaji v Kingstonu preskočila v ska ritem, ki je nadalje omogočil rojstvo ene najbolj raznovrstnih in najlepših glasbenih scen in zvrsti na svetu, ki jo pod krovnim imenom označujemo kot reggae. Wranglin je kot 16-letni fant pričel svojo profesionalno kariero s kitaro in tako spremljal razvoj avtohtone jamajške godbe od konca 40-ih let in potem sodeloval pri številnih prelomnih dogodkih jamajške godbe. Z gospodom Wranglinom smo se pogovarjali preko telefona z njegove rezidence na Jamajki.
Mr. Wranglin, what I wanted to know is, who are the artists that you listen to as a child?
First professional person that I really heard was Charlie Christian as a guitar.
What was the usual lineup of a band?
I didn't play much into those bands, you know. But, I used to play in Eric Dean's band, which is more of a we played broad like standards. And an artist would come from Broadway and we would play their music. So it's generally standard. I know about the calypso music, I know it is, but I never used to play much calypso. But I know of it.
Which rhythms were then in the 50s emphasized in Jamaica? More of a Latin rhythm or African?
Well, in the 50s, I would say from 40s, well, when I used to hear, as a young boy, I used to hear these bands that play like music from Duke Ellington, all those American bands, you know, Duke and Count Basie, Frank Kenton, bands like those. And so you used to, but on the side you used to have calypso bands. You know, but those bands were different from the real professional bands. The professional bands used to play like, as I said, like Frank Kenton, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, and bands like those, you know.
When did you start playing jazz standards?
I started professionally at the age of 16.
Sound system culture really kicked off with in the 50s with Trojan.
Sound system wasn't as prevalent at that time until because at 16, I was about 1948, and sound system didn't come in until about 50, a little over 50. Then sound system started.
So when you were a professional artist in the late 50s, were you a recording artist or more of a live act?
I was the arranger for a lot of these recording companies. Let's call it the A&R man. That's what I used to be. Well, for many of those recording companies.
Which music was more influential to you personally, U.S. R&B or jazz?
I am originally a jazz musician, and I like listening to Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie, in the early 50s. That was my favorite type of music. Because I was coming from the Count Basie and Kenton Duke Ellington type of music. So I was more of a jazz musician. But then I decided to do the other music, which is, you know, the ska and whatever. And that's when I did both. But then I would do that type of music in the days, and I would go and play in the hotels in the night and still play some standards. And then maybe on every Sundays, would find places to go and play jazz music. I played everything. I played standards. I played reggae music. Well, it wasn't reggae, it was ska. And I played Latin American music from the big band. And I play all of them.
So when did this shuffle style turn into ska?
Well, that was about 1958. We did that at Studio One. That's the first place that we did the first ska. We did it for Studio One, but it was done at the recording station at JVC, Jamaica Broadcasting Corporation. And they had about three studios there. So we would use one of those studios in the nighttime and do recordings. So that ska was first done at Jamaica Broadcasting Corporation, at that studio, at that radio station.
In 1964, you produced My Boy Lollipop. It was an American tune.
Was done in London.
So what was the reason for your move to England? Did you spend a lot of time there?
I was an A&R man for Island Records also. As I told you, I've been an A&R man for a lot of recording companies. So that was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in that position in Jamaica. And I was invited to England to do the same thing. I went there, and during that time, we produced the second tune was My Boy Lollipop.
Mhm. It became a big pop ska hit globally.
Yes, it made a good hit. It was a good hit that Jamaica ever had. That's the biggest hit that they had at that time.
Later on, in the late 60s, rocksteady became a prevailing style in Jamaica. Why do you think that rocksteady had taken over ska, in your opinion?
I wouldn't say it became more popular. It rocksteady was a little bit slower, mm-hmm. You know, and then because ska was the beat was pretty fast. Especially in England, the time was cold, so we had to bring up the tempo a little bit, to let the people feel a little more warm, let's put it that way, you know, build up the pressure, the blood, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought up the tempo a little faster. And then for these hot countries here, it was a little too fast for the fat country. So the rocksteady came in. And then with the rocksteady, you could also have a little more freedom to play put more notes in the bass line.
So is that when the bass became really important in reggae music?
Well, yes, it's because the bass was more really rocking at that time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We call it rocksteady.
How much influence did the Rasta have on your music?
It had a very good influence, but the music was still by itself, as you know. So when the Rasta music came in, It added something, yes, but we went back before the dancehall and so forth came in. So the rest of the music was going on during the rocksteady time.
I hear you produced Bob Marley's first song when the Wailers were actually the teenagers.
Yes, yes. Well, I knew them as young fellows, yes. And and they came to Studio One. And that time Studio One was just open officially. We used to do records for Studio One long before. But Studio One, they didn't have a studio for themselves. Mm-hmm. So this is why we had to go like down to Koori Studio. This is Koori, I shouldn't tell you the name of that. But the JBC, which I told you about. So when Bob came, it was just time when Studio One just officially opened, you know, to have their own studio. Koori Studio was the name of it, was Federal Recording also.
Bob Marley has since become the ambassador of authentic Jamaican music. Do you see yourself as a mentor for Jamaican music? Do you think that Jamaican guitarists or artists, musicians owe you a debt?
They don't owe me nothing. I only do what I have to do, you know, and try to do it the best way I can. And I just do what I have to do, you know. I could do it for anybody else.
When you came back from England, when you recorded for Studio One also, right?
I've been doing, you know, recordings for those people for years, you know, off and on, you know. So Studio One is somewhere that I've been a lot. I've been to Federal Records. I was A&R man for Federal Recordings also. You know, and many other recording companies. So, you know, I generally, it's Federal Recording Company and Studio One. Those two, I think I've done much, much more for them than most other studios. Well, I did that for Treasure Island also, which is Duke Reed. At that time, there wasn't much people who could do my work, so this is why I was all around.
Some of your most famous recordings were made with Lee Scratch Perry in the 70s. How do you feel about the way he put lots of effects on your guitar? Do you use effects on guitar? Have you ever used them?
Oh, I'm not much a lover of effects on guitar, really. I prefer to have just a straight, clean sound, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I've been very rare I do, you know, because I even have guitar synthesizers, and I don't use that. I have them pack up here at home for years, and I don't remember them, because I don't use them, you know. I prefer plain sound.
When you played ska, there was not much room for solo.
Well, there was, but you feel more or less that making the horns, you know, do more solo work and so forth, because I have to keep the rhythm. Because not everybody who could keep that rhythm at that time, you know. So I guess that's why I was more in the rhythm section, you know.
So when Rocksteady came, you had more space for guitar solos.
Yes. I never tried to play like anybody else. I guess whatever I do, almost the same style all the time, you know. I guess maybe I'm doing something different, I don't know, but that's how I generally have one style, but it's just because maybe I was doing a lot of rhythm work and nobody hear much of what I used to do, I could do.
Have you been traveling a lot in the 80s?
Oh yes, it's all over. You know, I travel a lot.
Why is it that you haven't produced an album in the 80s?
Well, during that time, I guess I was up and down, you know, because I used to live... Well, I produced albums also in the 80s, but I was living in Florida at that time. And most of those albums, I have them stashed one side. I keep them... I have not really... I maybe released them one time and I put them up, you know, so I haven't really released it all that much to the public. So mm-hmm. I have those albums at home here.
Do you consider yourself a reggae artist or a jazz artist?
I consider myself... At this moment, in this time, I consider myself as a reggae artist.
Do you prefer playing in a jazz festival or a reggae festival, then?
Well, a lot of people call jazz festival, you know, and I hear a lot of pop music played, so I guess it's a different time these times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, they give it a name, but then it's a different thing, so... I go and play whatever they, you know, whatever they call me, and but I play more reggae music than jazz.
What do you think about Jamaican music today? What the youth is producing in the dance halls?
Well, Jamaican music is a world music today. You know, it's one of the music that is big in the world, so I feel good about it because we have produced something that the world loves.
Are there any guitar players currently that you are listening? And
No, I really don't listen to a lot of guitar players. At least now, sometimes I may accidentally hear guitar, piano, listen, and if he's playing something very good, I feel good. Yes, I love to hear, you know, people playing, and if it's interesting, that he, you know, catch me by surprise, so, you know, that's good. I love that. But I really don't sit down and listen to guitar players. And I guess I tend to do more arranging than anything else. So most of my time, I'm thinking about maybe composing a tune and, you know, things like that. That's what keeps up my time.
Mr. Ranglin, I would like to thank you very much for this
interview. Oh, you're very welcome.
Interview. I hope you travel well to Slovenia.
I'm looking forward. This is going to be my first time.
Thank you very much, and have a nice day.
You're very welcome.
See you soon.
Thank you. Right. Bye-bye.
Z Ernestom Renglinom se je pogovarjal Dino Lalić. Intervju Radija Študent.